This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got Sal Capaccio with us live this morning on WBEN, Bill's sideline reporter for WGR at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Sal, when we left you yesterday, we were just starting to talk a little bit about rule changes, and you kind of teased us talking touchbacks, possibly moving to the 35-yard line. Got a lot of attention on that. What more can you tell us about that?
Yeah, for sure, guys. Good morning to you. So, The sentiment I'm getting here is that this is going to be on the table at the owners' meetings. Now, between now and then, anything can happen, and they may table it and say, we're not going to do it. But I think there's a strong feeling here that at least it's up for discussion to move the kickoff touchback to the 35-yard line, which is that's really good field position for any team. I mean, you're really within two first downs of attempting a field goal. So why would they do that? Well, for the same reason that they changed it last year to go to the 30-yard line, which is they want to encourage teams to actually have kickoff returns. They want to encourage teams to not kick it through the end zone and just have the team start off and go, okay, we'll just give you the ball there. So they're trying to keep the play in, but they're trying to reduce injuries, which is why they also changed a lot of the rules. So that's one of the things. Then we learned yesterday that the first down laser technology is going to be implemented in 2025. And of course, we know that hits home here in Buffalo because of what happened in the AFC Championship game with the controversial calls for the Bills not getting the spot, especially on that fourth down, you know, quarterback sneak from Josh Allen. Now, this won't be where there's going to be a chip in the ball telling you where it's placed. The officials, the human beings, will still determine the spot. But from there, it's just going to be, okay, did it make it or not? So I don't know how much it's going to change other than just kind of making it more efficient. But that's interesting. And of course, the tush push is obviously something that's being talked about a lot. So we'll see where it goes. I don't get the sentiment that there's going to be a heavy appetite to ban the tush push, but it's still being discussed amongst the competition committee. And it seems like there is each year of this thing, a little bit more growing of, you know, maybe we should do something about it.
You know, on the measuring of first downs, Sal, I don't get it. Because you mentioned it right there. The referee will still spot the ball.
Yep.
The problem isn't the measurement. The problem is the spot. Or am I missing something here?
Yep. No, I think you're right. And I have to dig more into exactly how it's going to be done, Brian. But from what I understand reading it, I think that's right. I think that, you know, it's they're still going to have the referees spotting the ball, and that's 100% right. Like, to me, the ultimate end game here should be they have done this. You can do this. Put a chip in the ball, like on each end of the nose of the football, and you can tell from literally, you know, how we do tracking on devices. You could tell exactly where the football was at the time where you want to say that the guy's knee hit or his elbow hit or whatever, and then something shows up to show a laser technology, that's where you spot the ball. Now, that might be really in-depth, and I don't know, but for what you're saying is right, which is, does it really change anything if we're talking about the person spotting the ball is what really matters here?
Yeah, I don't know about that, Sal. And, you know, you probably have to have, what, a chip at one end of the ball, chip at the other, chip in the middle of the ball. Yeah. Like, it could be pretty complicated. But, you know, on this, so it's a virtual measuring system. And I see all the snarky comments on Twitter. Everyone's, oh, you know, welcome to the 21st century. Oh, you're still using chains. This, to me, I hate it. I'm going to come around and say, I hate it. I like the chain gang. I mean, what was wrong with the chain gang? I hate this the same way I hate that Yankees players are going to have beards now. Like, you're removing, like, one of these quirky little pieces of, you know, everyone's holding their breath. Oh, extend the chain. Like, and now it's going to be gone because, oh, you know, here's a computer image of it. Like, who needs that?
Yeah. No, I understand. And I've always liked the chain gang, too. The drama of it is what I like, right? Bring it out and everybody's waiting around. You have the camera. And then as soon as they put it down, the referee goes one way or the other with his arm. And one side, one team goes nuts. The other one goes, oh, come on. I like that as well. And I guess the biggest reason is efficiency, keeping the game moving. Those things takes time, take like 2-3 minutes. So, you know, it's why it's what we've seen here with the NFL trying to move the game along a little bit. And that's probably the biggest reason more than anything.
You know, it seems, Sal, that there's a lot of communication that's going on between GMs at the Combine this week. Is this where some of the deal making is starting for some of the deals that we'll be hearing about?
No doubt. It's not just the trades, but you're right. You know, so the little secret that's really kind of out in the open, the worst kept secret, I guess, the thing that people don't say out loud is this is where really agents start talking with general managers about free agents to be, even though they're not allowed to, right? So the NFL free agent system starts on the first day of the new league year. And this year, that's March 12th at 4 p.m. So there's 2 days before that, which we like to call legal tampering. So on March 10th, that's when agents are allowed to call, or teams, I should say, are allowed to call agents of pending free agents. So let's just take a guy under contract for the Bills. Let's just say Mac Hollins, whose contract's expiring, I should say, in March. March 10th, other teams can call Mac Hollins' agent and say, hey, we're interested in you. We want to sign you. And then on March 12th, they can actually talk to the player. No. That stuff is happening at the Combine. Nobody talks about it, but everybody knows about it. If there's a pending free agent out there, teams are already talking to those agents and those deals. And then you have what you talked about. The GMs are all here, Susan. People are talking with each other. You know, I go out to dinner and I look to my right, I look to my left, and I see different people from different organizations sitting together. It's not always the GM sitting next to each other. It could be training staff people. It could be front office people, scouts, executives, salary cap people, everybody. So we know that those conversations in some way, shape, or form are taking place. I think back to the big NBA trade. You guys remember a couple weeks ago, it was Luka Doncic got traded, right, from the Dallas Mavericks to LA and Anthony Davis. And I thought it was fascinating to listen to Rob Pelinka, who runs the Lakers. And they're like, how did this come about? And he said literally he was in Dallas, and the general manager of the Mavericks said, hey, let's have some coffee. They walked down for a cup of coffee. They sat down. And he said, hey, this is what I'm thinking. And then they decided right there. They said, no one else can know about this other than us and the two owners of the teams. And if anybody finds out, the deal is off. And it was fascinating.
Wow. That is pretty cool.
I love that backdoor deal yeah. making. Sounds yep. fun. Sal, well, glad to have you on throughout the week. It was fun. And look forward to what's next. Sal Capaccio, Bills beat reporter, WGR 550. You hear his reports there joining us from the Combine all week long.